Cultured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Virtual Reality Church.
Welcome to our virtual church.
Is there some type of way for a virtual congregation?
You're not a congregation if you don't congregate.
When you combine this access with the loss of the local, I become my own confession, and I go around the world wide web listening for echoes that say back to me what I've already decided to believe.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Here we go.
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
DeVille is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. Don't you worry, you're in good hands. We are radio professionals. Well, I'm speaking it into existence. Maybe if I say it, it'll actually happen. Actually, what I wanted to say is, my name is actually Jimmy Hicks. I'm the producer of Wretched Radio. And Jimmy, you would interrupt me and say...
That's me.
And I would say, well, just think of me like a political commercial. I say the exact opposite of what reality is. I do believe they call that gaslighting. I think that's what it is these days. What's wretched in your computer? Would you please forward it to us? idea@wretched.org. If and you want to text questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, whatever, send it to the radio professionals. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from...
You know, monkeys could do this job.
I mean, obviously.
And here we are.
That's right.
Just proving that point. Not well.
From Anonymous, Todd, how should a Christian repent? What are the steps involved in Christian repentance?
Repentance means a recognition. Wrong. God is right. I'm wrong. It does mean stopping sinning, at least the desire to stop sinning, that you don't want to do those things anymore. It means contrition. I'm sorry. I've sinned against you. It means turning from those sins. It means going in the opposite direction. And it means not stopping till you get to your eternal destination. That's repentance. And as you go about the business of repenting, I think the one issue that perhaps confuses some of us sometimes is repentance unto salvation and daily contrition, daily repentance. You get saved one time. But after you become a Christian, you're going to sin. It is just a reality. You don't have to, but we do. And what do? Well, you want to communicate to your God who saved you that you are sorry for sinning against such a great and good God. But that doesn't get you re-saved. Don't be confused about that. When you repent, turn from your sins, put your trust in Jesus Christ, all of your sins, past, present, future, they are forgiven. But then the life of the Christian is a life of repentance because we continue to stumble. Sometimes we even jump. That's bad. And we want to do what makes the relationship a relationship. Just like in your home, you sin against somebody, and if nobody ever makes the step forward to say, I am sorry, I was wrong, will you forgive me? There's just a stain there. There's just a marring of the relationship. And the same thing, I think, is fundamentally true with God. And so you get saved by repenting and putting your trust in Jesus Christ. But as Martin Luther would say, well, he wouldn't say it. He did say it because, well, he's been dead for a while. The life of the Christian is a life of repentance. Do it often, do it regularly, but don't do it because you think that's going to get you saved all over again. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Josh. Todd, can Satan or demons enter into or affect the dreams of believers?
The answer is I don't know, but I tend to think not. I don't think that he has access. to getting into our thoughts. You say, well, but does he seems to have this uncanny ability to know how to tempt? Yeah, I don't know how that works either, but I think a part of it is that he studies humanity, and he's been doing it now for 6,000 years, and he kind of gets it. He knows our bents, typically. Perhaps observing what our actions are indicate this is what is perhaps inside of our heart. Can he influence your thinking? I don't think by getting into you. Can he influence your dreams? I don't think so. Now, sometimes people ask a related question. If I sin in my dreams, am I like accountable for that? And I think the answer is yeah, because you did it. I know they're just like bing, 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 these streamer thoughts. But if they are indeed sinful and it's going through your mind, I don't think you should be like, oh, I actually did that. But I think that if you've been sinning in your sleep and you remember it and you wake up and say, Lord, forgive me for that. Here's the repentance thing. That's not the heal my brain. Please keep me from evil thoughts, even when I'm asleep. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Philip. Todd, from a biblical perspective, just because a government can use capital punishment, do they have to use capital punishment in response to crimes like murder?
Do they have to? I think they should. I think that's the direction the Bible actually points. And it's not merely from the Mosaic Covenant. It's also Genesis chapter 9, that the life of a human being is so precious that if you snuff it out, that is precisely what you deserve. We see that it is the government's ability and the government's mandate to do just that, a la Romans 13. So I think we should be encouraging our government. I think we should be telling them, hey, esteem life higher. Take the life of one who took a life in an act called murder, not killing, murder, because God esteems human life as image bearers. So do I think that a government has to? Well, I don't think that I would be comfortable affirming it quite like that, but I would be comfortable saying I think they should. Now, permit me to go a little further. Just the death penalty for murder? I don't think so. I think that there are a panoply of sins that would qualify for the death penalty. That would come from the Mosaic Covenant, that there are some sins that are so bad, that are so marring, so damaging, that they reflect such a low view of image bearers, that God says your life is required. And so those actions, I think that we should be increasingly saying to the government, get on it. Get on it. Are you kidding? Doing that to a child? That, wow. Doing that to a woman? Sorry. That is so egregious. You've qualified yourself for the death penalty. But I would also add in this, I get it could be a little bit tricky, that if somebody is doing something so disruptive to the community, that I believe that we see that we've got the principle of the death penalty in the Old Testament. We in America especially, perhaps, we're so big and there's so much cushion here that you can have a lot of bad people running around. And we know it's there, and we know what parts of town not to go into. But overall, we're kind of like going about our business, not thinking much about it. But let's just say we shrunk the size of the nation to your state. Let's keep shrinking to the size of your county. Shrink again, your city, your neighborhood. And those people are doing things that are so disruptive. You just bring it down into the size of your home. You got a child who is so bent on destruction, that home can't function. And we even see in the Bible that God says that there can be some kids who qualify, not just for being put out of the home, but for the death penalty. Why is that? Because it's so disruptive to a community. And it was far more disruptive to communities then, even than now, because of our size. But you've got somebody who is just trying to tip the whole apple cart upside down, and it destroys flourishing for the other human beings. The Bible says that that type of person either needs to be sent out, or they need to not be, have the ability to do that anymore. We've come up with something called incarceration. And I know that we had jails in the New Testament. Paul spent some time there, but I don't see that mandated in the Bible. What we see is a penal system in the Bible. We see you do wrong, you're going to feel it. And that tends to curb behavior. All that to say, I think we should be petitioning our government now. Quite honestly, the things that people are doing, it's like, hey, step it up, government. The challenge, of course, today is a lot of times what the government is doing, frankly, is criminal. 877-282-2337. Send your stuff to idea@wretched.org. And let us just take a moment now, shall we, to count our blessings. 1, 2, 3, 4. Because Jimmy didn't read a single question about the debacle.
Uh-huh.
Did you do that on purpose?
I think so.
You've had enough, have you?
Well, for at least a day.
Well, hopefully not. Hopefully you'll be recovered from that by next Thursday. Be looking for an announcement on treating that subject very pastorally, very thoroughly, and I hope very helpfully. This is Wretched Radio. Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies, the war. Let me tell you, it's raging out there, and Preborn is right on the front lines providing what is so powerful, ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. Worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Remember how the Apostle Paul's gratitude for the Philippian church just overflowed in his prayers? Well, that's exactly how we feel about our gospel partners. You're not just supporters of this ministry, you're the heartbeat of it. It's because of you that we're able to reach millions with the gospel and equip believers all over the world. And now we're on the brink of something extraordinary. In just a few short weeks, we're launching our most ambitious initiative ever, a brand new platform designed to resource and equip local churches like never before. And it's only possible because of partners like you. If you're not already a gospel partner, would you prayerfully consider joining us in this mission? Your support isn't just appreciated, it is transformative. Together, we can strengthen local churches, equip believers, and spread the life-changing gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can find out more about becoming a gospel partner right now at wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
There are many struggles experienced by our brothers and sisters in Ukraine, specifically those who run the Master's Academy International.
The biggest challenge for men attending TMAI, especially in our context in Ukraine, is the opposition from people in the church who oppose sound doctrine, and therefore men really struggle to transform their ministries in accordance with the Word of God.
The Master's Academy International in Ukraine, fighting a battle on two fronts. You've got Russia, of course, and you have opposition from the church in Ukraine for biblically trained pastors to preach the gospel. Would you please consider supporting the Master's Academy International? Adopt a seminary, 17 different countries. Might want to turn your attention to Ukraine. To learn more about this amazing legacy ministry, visit wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
Books of the Bible. Romans was written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome.
It is a thorough, systematic presentation of the gospel. The two major themes are sin and righteousness. Sinners are counted righteous by imputation of Christ's righteousness. If you wish to understand the gospel, the clearest, most thorough explanation is in the book of Romans. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
There is something you can do. This is Wretched Radio. If you have perhaps been a bit consternated over the state of the life movement in America, I feel ya, but there's still something you can do. If you're not familiar with Preborn Ministries, providing free ultrasounds, mommies usually make the right choice. 80% of the time, that's usually. Furthermore, they provide for the needs of mothers in need. They also share the gospel with everybody who comes through their doors, which, if anything, is going to help bring down the rate of unplanned pregnancies and women considering abortion. It would be the gospel. So if you'd like to do something, encourage you to consider supporting Preborn Ministries. Ultrasounds, $28. 80% of the time, moms choose life. That is doing something. Please visit preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched. And when you're done with that, send wretched stuff, would you please? idea@wretched.org. If you want to text or call, you can still do that. 877, not that anybody does these days. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Adrian. Todd, how should we interpret Paul's approach of becoming all things to win some today?
Just practicing some self-control, because I want to say, yo, Adrian, how do you apply Romans chapter 9? Not the way that we see most people applying it. Hey, Paul did anything just so that somebody would come to his church. No, actually, that's not what he meant. This is in the context of adiaphron. These are disputable dispensations, the stuff where different Christians are going to have different opinions. And Paul, in the context of Romans 9, was saying, if I'm with somebody who doesn't eat meat sacrificed to an idol, I ain't eating meat. I'm going to become all things. I don't want to be a stumbling block. It could have been religious. It could have also been cultural. If you are going to a foreign country, you learn the customs because you don't want to make people upset because you aren't following their rules. It's not a sin issue. I want to become all things that I might win some, because I don't want people to not see Jesus because I'm being obtuse and not very sensitive to their cultural norms. That's it. It has nothing to do with turning church into a silly center. It has nothing to do with a pastor riding into the congregation on a giraffe or what. You know, Jimmy, the only reason that I think a pastor has not yet ridden into the church on a giraffe is because we don't have giraffes. But if we did, something like horses have been ridden in. We've seen zip lining. We've seen helicopter. We've seen motorcycles entering the church. They'll do all things to win some. That is not what Paul had in mind. And I think that there could be a broader application even to this correct biblical principle of being mindful. I want to be thoughtful. I want to be aware. And so that means if I'm in a cultural context, or if I just happen to be in a group of people and this is kind of the way they do that, I don't want to stick out like a sore thumb. And if it doesn't mean sinning, then I'm going to conform to whatever that norm is. Why? Because I don't want people tripping up. That is what Romans 9 was about. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, my family and I are members of our local Church of Christ. Lately, our worship has been very heavy on Bethel and Hillsong. The last thing I want to do is sow division in the church. We love our church family, but should Bethel and Hillsong be a deal breaker?
Kind of surprised.
Well, he did say that it was a cappella.
Okay.
he did say that.
Man, if you're going to do a cappella, there's better and easier stuff to sing. I'll tell you that much. Would I make a big deal out of it? Well, I would study the issue, and then I would bring it respectfully to your elders. Having said that, I might point you toward your statement of faith. That in this instance, would probably get my attention more. Are you a part of a Church of Christ church that insists you must get baptized in order to be saved? If so, I would encourage you to find a church that preaches grace alone, faith alone, and Christ alone. If you're in a church that is work righteous, that is legalistic, and many Church of Christ, they are in churches of Christ. Got my plurals all goofed up. Churches of Christ, it's like sons-in-law. If you are in a system that is laboring to make you work like crazy and putting a yoke on your back, then I would encourage you to find a grace-based church that preaches the word only and doesn't sing the Hillsong. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous as well. Todd, a scripture says to meditate on the Word of God. How do we meditate without getting mixed up in New Age spirituality?
Yeah, there's one word that I think will guide you through that. And you can say mindfulness. What is the Bible's definition of those terms versus Jon Kabat-Zinn's, versus Hinduism, versus yoga? That is a mindfulness that empties the brain, meditation that removes all thoughts and desires from your noggin. That is the opposite of biblical. So don't do, just be mindful of that. Be aware. Hey, I'm not doing this to just get into some Zen-like state. I'm meditating because I'm thinking hard. Meditation. I think the reason that a lot of people struggle to do it, it's work. Sitting and thinking and ruminating and not getting distracted, especially these days. Is there any one of us who has not yet been influenced by social media and our attention spans shorten? We're distracted by a gnat. Oh, I got a text. Oh, my phone vibrated. Where is my phone? You got to sit there and think on these things. You meditate by ruminating on truth. And I'm looking forward, so glad this question was asked, to this Sunday's service at alpharettabiblechurch.org. We're going to do just that during the service, because we're going to be talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It happens to be in the context of Matthew 16, the sign of Jonah. What is the sign of Jonah? It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jonah was a picture of that. And the resurrection is so profound and so faith-building. It will grow your confidence in God. Now, here's something that this would be the difference between meditating and not meditating, okay? So here's why you can believe the resurrection. Empty tomb. The disciples had a changed lives. They had no reason to, and bing, 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 and I give you 25, because that's actually how many I have. 25 reasons you can trust the resurrection. Okay, got it. That's not what meditation is. There was an empty tomb. That means the body was missing. Now, there's two options. Somebody took it, or somebody rose from the dead. And the fact that the religious people understood the implications of a resurrected man named Jesus Christ, what did they do? They tried to shut it down with rumors, because they understood if we can't find the body, we better have some other explanation for this. Now, what am I doing? I'm just thinking about the empty tomb. And I can think longer and harder on it from every different angle that I want to. It's not because you want to get mystical and weird, but think about this. We have an alive Savior, and we can know it because that tomb was empty. And that is why we celebrate Easter. In fact, it's funny because in preparation for this Sunday service, I wanted us to sing resurrection songs. Well, guess where they're found? Easter. A lot of those hymns have the word today in it. Christ the Lord is risen today. So, well, we can't sing that because it's not. But then it dawned on me, why don't we celebrate the resurrection more throughout the course of the year? That is the linchpin miracle. There is no greater miracle than that. Sorry if you're going to be at church on Sunday, but the Pharisees in Matthew 16, once again, give us a sign from the heavens. Give us a sign. Five times they asked Jesus for a sign. I think it was three times in Matthew, once in John, once in Luke. This is the fourth time. The fifth time happened in Luke. They would give us a sign. Give us a sign. And Jesus said, no. All you're getting is the sign of Jonah. Why? First of all, that's the big one. Second of all, that's the undeniable one. Third of all, the other ones can be explained away. They can be denied. They can be brushed off somehow. And they're not quite as theological as the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the bedrock miracle. That's the only one that you need. You don't need the feeding of the 5,000 and 4,000. You don't need it. You don't need the demons being driven out. You don't need walking on water. You need the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You need the sign of Jonah. That's what you need. And it seems to me that we would do well to watch this, Jimmy. Meditate on the resurrection more than we do. Because I believe that it'll move you from little faith to big faith, and it'll grow your confidence. It will give you joy. You'll increase your assurance in Jesus Christ. You'll be hopeful. You'll be forward thinking, all because you meditate on the resurrection. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News break here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, a recent poll reveals some surprising attitudes among Gen Z towards social media. If you can believe it, nearly half of Gen Z respondents say they wish platforms like TikTok, Snapchat, and Twitter had never been invented. Despite Gen Z being the first generation to grow up fully immersed in the social media culture, this is how almost half of them feel. Can't say that I blame them. The survey conducted by the Harris Poll in collaboration with a sociologist found that 47% of the respondents wished TikTok had never been created, while 50% felt the same way about Twitter. Interestingly, the pushback is not against technology in general. Less than 20% wish smartphones or the internet hadn't been invented. It seems like the issue is specifically with the impact of social media. Parents, take note. Our youth are crying out for boundaries and protection from the very technologies they've grown up with. And more news from another poll. This poll suggests that neither former President Donald Trump nor Vice President Kamala Harris are viewed as particularly religious by most Americans. Ah, that's one of the understatements of the year, isn't it? The survey conducted by the Associated Press found that only 14% of respondents felt the word Christian described either Trump or Harris extremely or very well. Like to have a conversation with those 14%. And this perception persists despite both figures claiming to have Christian identities. And moving on, a watchdog group has filed a lawsuit against the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services seeking records related to the Assistant Secretary for Health and that secretary's communications about gender transition procedures for minors. Now, I can't remember if the Assistant Secretary for Health is Richard Levine. He pretends to be a woman and goes by another name now that I will not say. I believe it was Richard. Anyway, the lawsuit filed by Judicial Watch comes after reports that Levine's team pressured an international medical group to remove age limits for gender surgeries and other interventions for children experiencing gender dysphoria. And according to the court filings, Levine allegedly feared that including age limits in medical guidelines could make it harder for youth to undergo these procedures. Yeah, that's pretty much the intent there. And in a troubling case from Toronto, the city's first black female police superintendent has pleaded guilty to 7 counts of misconduct. Why? Well, Stacey Clark admitted to leaking answers for the sergeant's promotion exam to 6 black officers, claiming she wanted to level the playing field due to perceived racial inequities. So let me get this right. You want to level the playing field by helping someone cheat. Not quite sure you understand the definition of leveling the playing field. And that's been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the door. A door serves to provide or prevent access. Thieves and robbers are prevented from entering in, but those who trust in Christ are able to come through him into eternal salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Yes, you can blame Jimmy for this. This is Wretched Radio. I'm your host, Deepak Chopra. You're the one who started it, dude. So you have nobody to blame but yourself. This is wretchy. I know I disappointed you. I set myself up for a Deepak Chopra impersonation.
Yeah. And you didn't.
And I totally biffed it. That's because I was meditating. See what I did there? 877-282-2337. Text or call. And don't forget the email machine, idea@wretched.org.
All right, this is from Paul. Todd, I have a friend who says 1 John 1:9 was written to unbelievers and that we don't have to ask for forgiveness for our sins. We were saved past, present, and future from our sins. I try to explain it's not a salvation issue, it's a relationship issue, but he's really not buying it. Any advice?
Well, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Who's the letter written to? He's not writing to unbelievers. He's clearly writing to Christians. How do you know? Because if you scoot to 1 John 5, give or take 20, maybe 17, maybe 21, somewhere in that hood, I write these things that you might know you are saved. This is a book that is written to believers. And so the admonition to be about the business of confessing your sins to God, that is 1 John 1:9, right? If we say we have, that's 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, the truth is not within us. Then 9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. All right. That is something that the Christian does. And I think you could maybe support it by asking him, what was Jesus doing in the upper room with the foot washing? What did Jesus mean when he responded to Peter and said, wash my whole body? Nope, you don't need it, Peter. Just need your feet washed. Have him explain that without the understanding of 1 John 1:8-9. You really can't. You'd have to come up with something pretty wacky for that. Furthermore, I would appeal to some sense of relationship. We were talking earlier about what is repentance. How do you do repentance? It is a relational issue. And maybe just this closing thought for you. Don't feel frustrated that you're doing a deficient job. Sometimes people, they just don't want to hear it. And you got to give them time. You got to let it sit. And regularly people come around. Sometimes they don't. But you can't persuade them. All you can do is share the best you know, the best way that you can, and let God do the convincing. Your job is just to be faithful. And this applies. Been thinking about this more and more. I think we talked about this subject a few months ago. But I think it's worth reminding ourselves of throughout the course of a day, especially if you happen to be in a season that's super hard, or you're in a season that's really challenging you, or you're having to make really difficult decisions. I encourage you to think through your decisions. I'm not talking about, okay, what's wisdom? What will be the consequences? I'm not talking about that. But at the moment, doing an assessment, you've got a hard decision to make. Lord, I've studied the issue. I've asked you for wisdom. I've read my Bible on this. I'm trying to be faithful to you. So I'm going to make this decision. I hope that you will be pleased with it. What is good about that, besides that you're communing with your God, talking to your Savior? But when you then, in 6 months or 6 years, look back and go, why did I do that? Oh, that was so stupid. What a dumb decision. You can remember, I was just trying to be faithful, Lord. I was just trying to be faithful. And if it was just a stupid decision that just wasn't very wise, okay, well, you didn't do it on purpose. If it's something that turned out to have bad effect and consequences, was that your goal? No. How do you know? Because at the time, you just took a moment to go, in this situation, Lord, I'm trying to be faithful to you. I'm trying to do this for your glory. I'm going to pull the trigger on this. Please, please bless it as you see fit. And when you do that, I just think it helps in the years ahead. And I think ultimately it will help you when you have an awful lot of free time to ruminate on these things. Most likely, unless the Lord takes you sooner, your body's going to start to break down and you're not going to be able to get around like you once could. And you're going to be living with relatives. Hopefully your children, you might end up in What are they? I think there might be a new name. They don't call them nursing homes. That's bad.
Assisted living.
Yeah, but I thought there's even a new term now. Got to keep up with that stuff. But let's just say assisted living. And then let's just say ultimately, you got so much time. You can't do the activities. You need to be wheeled to the cafeteria. You got a lot of time. And what are you going to do inside of your brain? You're going to look back. You're going to remember stuff. And you might have a propensity to feel bad about it. And if you perhaps begin the practice of making decisions with the Lord in mind, with the desire to simply be faithful, maybe you just won't have as many regrets. Because there's all stuff, especially when you look at parenting. Come on, who of us doesn't look back on parenting and go, oh, yi, what was that? But if you remember that at the time you were striving to be godly, you were trying to please the Lord, you weren't doing stuff out of anger or, the best you could tell, any false motivations, then you can look back on that and go, yeah, that was, but Lord, I didn't do it maliciously, wasn't my intention. And you maybe, just maybe, won't feel regret. 877-282-2337.
Personal care homes.
Is that what they call them now?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All righty then. Let's get with the program, everybody. They're personal care homes.
That's right.
Why do we have to chat? I don't get it.
I don't know.
Okay. Are there still nurses in those homes? Okay. I'm just wondering. Why? What's wrong with being nursed? That should be a positive that you get to be nurse. Somebody's going to help you. I do not understand the changing of the names to make people. It has to feed into something. It has to personal. Yeah, there it is. Our autonomous world. It's personal. It's just for you. Hmm. The center of the universe. In your own mind. idea@wretched.org.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, my brother recently converted to Catholicism after most of his life being atheist or agnostic and has invited my wife and I to his confirmation. Is it possible to attend without validating or condoning his acceptance of this false gospel? Should I think of this as being better than nothing?
No. In fact, I might even argue it's worse than nothing. Because work righteousness, OPU, God really finds that to be a stench in his nostrils. And I don't know that there's a way you can go without affirming. And you might be able to say, well, what if I tell him up front? All right. And he wants you there, even though you're saying, I don't affirm it. In fact, I affirm the exact opposite of that. In fact, I'm opposed to what you're doing. He's not going to want you there. So I know these things have family dynamics involved. Believe me, I know. I get it. But if our presence says to anybody who's attending or to the world, I'm for this, we simply can't do it. Now, this brings us to 1 John 2:9. Well, look at me. I've got my, where are my glasses? What happened to my, that talks about is it 2 John? It's in the New Testament that if we do something, I think it's 2 John 7, that if we do something that indicates we are affirming in this context, whatever the address might be, it was having somebody stay in your home who's teaching falsely. That was the way to say to the town and the society, I'm for this guy. Don't do that. So that would be the specific. But the principle is we don't do things that affirm false teaching. So if you are having to do something or asked to do something that says I'm affirming sin or I'm affirming false dogma, get ready for the fallout. Jesus warned about this. He did. This is precisely the type of division that comes from being a follower of Jesus Christ. Your family's going to get torqued at you very potentially, especially if they are not all saved. They're going to get mad at you. Jimmy, you look like you're eating crow over there.
No, I just was trying to
get... You want to feed me crow? What's the address?
Look at your collar. Look at your collar right below you.
No. Oh, no.
Found your glasses.
Yeah, there they are. I just suddenly have a craving for applesauce and a nap.
Do you need a personal care home?
Where are my glasses, dear? On the tip of your nose, honey. All righty. Gonna go clean the garage again. Shuffle off. But what about the address? You didn't care about the Bible address. No. You just wanted to let me know. I'm a complete knucklehead.
Yeah.
Okie dokie then.
Woo.
Let's just imagine, shall we, what it would be like to go to war with Jimmy, to be in the trenches with somebody who's willing to throw you right to the enemy. That's what it would be like. Please continue sending stuff to idea@wretched.org. Don't forget texting 877-282-2337. Oh, look it. There's words on the page. Cool. This is Wretched Radio. Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or, of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
In his letter to the Philippians, the Apostle Paul expressed profound gratitude for their support. In just a few short weeks, we'll be launching the most ambitious initiative in our ministry's history, a groundbreaking platform designed to resource and equip local churches more effectively than ever before. To every gospel partner listening right now, your impact reaches far beyond what you might imagine. You're not standing on the sidelines. You're right here with us, advancing God's kingdom every single day. Stay tuned for the big reveal of our new platform and let us continue this incredible journey together. And if you want to be an even bigger part of this exciting mission, then let me point you to wretched.org/donate, where you can learn how to become a gospel partner right now. And together we'll be empowering churches and changing lives through the transformative power of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Join us today. wretched.org/donate.
You're familiar with Tomorrow Clubs. It's a ministry that we have happily lauded over the years. We commend them heartily to you because they are an efficient ministry. They've got the gospel right, and they go to places where the gospel is usually not propagated. Very poor parts of the globe, specifically Eastern Europe and in parts of Africa, the Tomorrow Clubs, working in conjunction with a local church to preach the gospel to the kids, sing, have them memorize scripture, pray, and entire towns are getting saved. We love the Tomorrow Clubs, and if you want to be encouraged and be reminded that Jesus is building his church, they just reached 1,000 of these clubs. That's encouraging, and I'd like to encourage you to please consider become a ministry partner to the Tomorrow Clubs. If you like evangelistic ministries, they're the ticket. They're the bomb. You can learn more at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Attributes of God. God is merciful. While he does not permit evil to go unpunished, he withholds his justice for a time. Though God is storing up wrath for the day of judgment, every day we continue to live is evidence of God's mercy and another chance to repent and trust in Christ for salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Yes, there were many addresses listed, but I got one of them right. This is Wretched Radio. It's 2 John. You can start at verse 9. It's the admonition to avoid unbiblical ecumenism. It's the biblical admonition to guard your testimony. You speak wherever you go. Did you know that? You either speak a good word about Jesus Christ or you speak a bad one. But either way, you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And you bring with you a creed, theology, a faith that says there are some things that we simply cannot disagree on and still have unity and fellowship with one another. And 2 John gets to the heart of that. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. So in other words, if you don't have Jesus Christ right, you're not a Christian. If you don't have correct Christology, you are not a believer whose sins will be forgiven. And then we hear this admonition. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, and it doesn't just have to be deficient Christology, it's any sort of heresy, do not receive him into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Now, that was a bit cultural. That isn't exactly the same today, but you could apply the principle or write the principle and then apply it by saying if you do anything in your cultural context that speaks a word to the world who is watching you, an ambassador of Jesus Christ, that says theology doesn't matter, or you can believe whatever you want to, you can't do it. Simple as that. And I know that that means you could get fired. I know that means that your parents, they might write you out of the will. You wouldn't be the first. But that's what we're called to repeatedly by Jesus Christ himself. He was rejected. He was the chief example of having theology that was offensive to people. And look at what he received for his trouble. His own family, his brothers and sisters didn't believe in him until the crucifixion and resurrection. This was a man who was hounded. He was exceedingly unpopular in certain circles. Ultimately, died for his theology, which of course was proclaiming himself to be the Son of God and the Messiah. He led the way in this. And if we're going to follow him, we don't go looking for it. We don't want to get thrown in jail. We don't want to wreck the family Thanksgiving. But we do need to, and I believe people need to, they should understand this before they make some sort of a profession of faith. Do you understand that Jesus Christ, he offers you salvation free. It is without cost for forgiveness. But following him will cost you everything. Are you prepared? Because if you're not, then you're not for him. And that means you're still against him. You need to count the cost. How many verses do we need to affirm that? Read the Gospel of Matthew over and over again. Your father, and read Luke, give or take chapter 10 to about 20. Over and over again, you put your hand to the plow, and if you look back, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. We need to be letting people know there is a cost to following Jesus, not a cost for salvation. And maybe, just maybe, we need to get that straight in our own hearts. Does that mean suddenly you get to be obnoxious at the Thanksgiving table? Of course not. But I do believe that it's like being ready for the tragedies of your life. It always helps to have sovereignty pretty secure in your heart and mind, that you understand God is ordaining all things for my good and for his glory, even when they are difficult things, hard things, even when men do sinful things, even when evil actions take place, God is ordaining it for my good and for his glory. That helps before you enter the storm. And I think the same thing is true if you don't get your heart ready for persecution and division and hatred and animosity. When it hits, you're going to be wobbly. We need to be ready. Why? Because it helps. Yep. But primarily because Jesus said, it's going to happen. I hope you are able to maintain your relationship with your Catholic brother. 877-282-2337.
All right. This is from Anonymous. Todd, what is the limit a Christian is allowed to post on social media? For example, I have a friend who posts...
None. I'm sorry. I thought my mic was off. Go ahead. Keep going.
I have a friend who posts explicit images and videos of her past life before Christ.
No.
Drinking, clubbing, showing body parts. Is she allowed on a biblical basis to make a video testimony showing those images and then later in the same video showing how she's changed from that?
Yeah, I'm super glad that she's changed from that. And this goes beyond social media. This is even your testimony. I believe we've spoken about this before. I think it is good that you can share appropriately as many sins as you can to paint yourself as darkly as you were, to magnify the grace of Jesus Christ. But to get into the details, that's just inappropriate speech. You can say things without saying things, and we all understand it. It's practicing some discretion. I think it is being mindful that we aren't trying to create images in people's minds, so we don't need to hear the details. But if you want to say you lived a reprobate life, if you want to say that you were captured by sex, drugs, and rock and roll, we get it. We don't need the details. No, we don't want the details. And I don't think you should share the details. That goes for video too. You can communicate that without... Sometimes you can't say everybody's heart, but it's almost like kind of like, I was a pretty amazing sinner, wasn't I? I didn't just do crack daily. I did it hourly. Okay, well, got it. When we don't want to turn it into a celebration of sin, or it could be on the other end of the spectrum, a lightening of sin by talking about it like it just, you know, kind of loosey-goosey. We need to be appropriate people with our mouths. And I think especially when it comes to our testimony and when it comes to putting something on the internet, we don't need to see images. You can tell us by being discreet. Jimmy, guess what we're doing at Alpharetta Bible Church this Sunday?
What's that?
Go ahead. I'm talking about testimonies.
Testimonies.
Baptisms.
Yeah.
Got four baptisms.
Wow.
Very excited. I love baptisms.
I do too.
It's not a regulated part of a church service, I think, but I think it's entirely appropriate to have it incorporated inside of the service itself. And we're gonna do it right up front. Right after the call to worship, we're going to have the baptisms. And I have to confess to you, I love baptismal testimonies. I just love them because you're seeing God's work in somebody. You're seeing another one brought into the kingdom and being willing to look a fool. Come on, let's be honest. It's kind of dopey to get into a jacuzzi, probably wearing a robe or something, getting dunked in the water by another human being. And, you know, they got to have you cross the arm and plug the nose and then boom, down you go. What is that? Well, it's kind of foolish looking. We know that's profoundly rich in symbolism, but I do believe that its foolish looking nature is by design. Because first of all, it is a glorious picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Furthermore, it's a beautiful picture of your death to self and resurrection and new life in Jesus Christ. That is a beautiful picture. But I think that it also says, I don't care what you think about me. This is my public testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care what you think about what it is that I am doing, but I am willing to be humbled because Jesus Christ humbled himself for me to the point of death unto a cross. That's what baptism speaks. That's what it says to the world. And when I watch those, it's just, to me, it is a modern day gospel preached in such a unique way. It's still worth... The Lord's table, you tactilely digest the gospel. Visually, in baptisms, you see the picture, But when people give their testimony with it, which isn't mandated in the Bible, by the way, but it's just kind of a tradition that we've picked up, I think, in evangelicalism. Oh, you just feed the body. Oh, you just encourage everybody. When you tastefully let everybody know what a sinner that you were and what Jesus has done for you. If you haven't been baptized, I encourage you, you got to get on it. It's a command. And if you've been putting it off, you've been overlooking it, then I would encourage you, you got to get her done. And if you're not wanting to be baptized because it's going to be kind of embarrassing, I would be the strong with it. You either need to get over that or ask yourself the question, if I'm ashamed of Christ, will he one day be ashamed of me? Get baptized, believer. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.